This is WMUK at 102.1 FM and online at WMUK.org from Western Michigan University. The Bullock Performance Institute series continues at the School of Music at WMU with a concert tomorrow night, Wednesday night at 7:30. In the past weeks, we've had such groups as the Spectral Quartet from Chicago. We've had new music performed by a percussion duo Coalescence last week, and this week it's wind music, and here to talk about it is Director of Bands Scott Borma. Welcome.
Good morning.
And Graduate Assistant Trumpet Player Greg Blakeman. Hello.
Good morning.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Scott, let's talk about the Western Winds, which is a really unusual ensemble at Western Michigan University.
Yeah, it's one of the most enjoyable parts of my year, at least. We take all of our graduate students in wind and percussion, the wind and percussion players, graduate students, and put them together in a concert with their faculty mentors. So they sit next to, if you're an oboe player, you sit next to the oboe professor. If you're a percussionist, you play side by side with Judy Moonert. So it's a really unusual and terrific opportunity to get our graduate students in a real world performance situation with their mentors.
I went to school here. I've worked at Western ever since. I graduated in 1992. I think of graduate assistants in music as just being the normal, everyday, and necessary part of the School of Music. They fill a role that is almost ambassador between faculty and brand new students, and they just help in so many different ways.
Yeah, very much so. They're involved in a lot of different things, from the marching band to the pep bands to helping with instrument classes for music education students. A trombone player that needs to learn how to teach the clarinet, you'll have a graduate clarinet student teaching that class, and they serve a very vital function in our School of Music. And also, they're able to play in advanced ensembles. We have the graduate brass quintet, we have the graduate wind quintet, and various other kinds of ensemble experiences that they don't get at the graduate or at the undergraduate level, and as I mentioned, opportunities to work with the state-of-the-art faculty that we have.
Greg, I wonder if I could find out a little bit about you as a musician and whether a career in music was something you decided on quickly, or was it something you had to think about?
Well, that's a great question. I decided very early, I think probably when I was about 14 years old, that I wanted to do a career in music. I remember, I remember thinking, it's like, you know, I can't really see myself doing anything else. I practiced really hard. I did everything that, you know, everyone told me to. I took lessons throughout high school, I did my undergraduate in music education, actually, at the University of Central Missouri in Warrensburg, Missouri.
Is that where you grew up? Kind of in the Midwest?
Kind of. I guess, you know, I don't want to get too in detail. My dad was in the Air Force, so I kind of moved around a lot.
Yeah.
I was born in Kansas, and I moved to, after that, I moved to New Mexico, Albuquerque, and then I moved to Ohio, and then I moved to Germany after that, was there for 4 years. And then when I was 12, I moved to Missouri. So my dad was stationed at Whiteman Air Force Base, which is, I ended up there, and I lived there for about 12 years until I came here. Mm-hmm. So I did my undergraduate there, and then, you know, sometime during my music ed degree, I decided that, you know, I wanted to pursue a performance career, and so I did some, you know, applications, did some research, and I found that, you know, Western was a great place to go, and had some, you know, really fantastic opportunities for graduate assistants. So, you know, I auditioned, you know, I was accepted and got in, and, you know, it was out of, you know, all the other places I was accepted, this was probably the most appealing. So, you know, I'm happy with my choice that I, you know, decided to come here.
So, Greg, you had a chance to kind of compare and contrast and see what afforded you the kind of experience you were looking for in a grad school setting.
Yeah. You know, it definitely has everything I wanted to have. So, yeah.
Which includes what? Like playing experience?
I do a variety of things. You know, I have, you know, I play in the graduate brass quintet, which is a great experience. You know, I'm matched up with other graduate students, and they're all just fantastic players. And it's, you know, it's a great experience. We play, you know, great repertoire in that ensemble. You know, in addition to that, you know, I have assistantship duties, which is great. It's a great experience. I do a lot of unique things, you know, a variety of things. You know, I work with some music education classes. I do work with some music appreciation classes. You know, I'm able to work with some, you know, some of the trumpet studios sometimes. Yeah. And, you know, in addition to that, you know, as far as scholarship and, you know, financial assistance, it's fantastic. You know, it really helps me out.
Who is your faculty mentor?
Well, currently I am studying under Scott Thornburg. You know, the way they do it here for the graduate program and as well as the undergraduate program. The first year I studied with Dr. Robert White, which was last year. And this year I'm studying with Scott Thornburg.
I see. So you had a chance to work with both.
Yes.
That's kind of nice. All right. We're getting right into the issue of graduate students working with faculty, and that is what the Western Winds is all about. Let's remind listeners that it's not a free concert, sorry. Baluch Performance Institute is ticketed. You can get tickets at the door, and the live performance is tomorrow night. Music starts at 7:30 with a pre-concert talk at 7 p.m. Some of the highlights of the program?
We're playing five different works, all of completely different styles and eras and ensemble assortments. We start with a brass and percussion opening piece, and it's a piece by Paul Dooley, a very young composer, somebody that I happen to have worked with in my previous job at the University of Michigan. He's on the faculty there in music or performing arts technology, and a fabulous composer, really getting a lot of play across the country with his music. And he recently wrote, just 3 years ago, wrote this work for brass and percussion, and it's called Salt of the Earth, a very interesting title. And it's inspired by the Detroit Salt Mine, which I never knew about, but it descends 1,300 feet below downtown Detroit. There's a mine down there.
Oh, you know, that's new to me, too.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And the music kind of captures the power of Detroit industry and this ominous space below the city and the artificially illuminated tunnels that are have conveyor belts and tractors and trucks kind of coming up and down from the surface, and really fascinating. And it's kind of this very industrial sounding, unique opening piece for our concert.
It sounds like Paul Dooley actually went to this area.
Yeah, absolutely. He took a look at it. I don't know how you get down there, but he experienced it and made some music that described it. It's really fascinating music. And this ensemble is made up, of all our graduate assistants, our graduate students, and their faculty mentors. So all of our brass faculty are playing in the ensemble, in addition to Judy Moonert, our percussion professor.
That's then comes some featuring of graduate wind quintets and the brass quintet. I think we can get into more detail a little bit later. I do want to take a musical break, though.
Yeah.
And
I think we were going to hear a little bit of the Dvorak Serenade.
Yeah.
We close our concert Wednesday night with Dvorak's amazing Serenade in D minor, and I will give you some tastes of that before we talk about it.
There it is, movement one of the Serenade for Winds, Opus 44 by Antonin Dvorak. So beautiful, so familiar, and so difficult, according to director of bands Scott Borma, my guest today.
I was just saying on the break that it's a kind of an intimidating work to do because it really requires really top-notch musicians, and fortunately we have them.
It's an interesting hybrid of a piece from a major 19th century composer. It's as tuneful as one of his symphonies, and yet it's for smaller forces and very few, if any, strings are involved.
Right.
So what kind of occasion does this piece call for?
Really, he really just wrote it to write it. And it was 1878, and he had earlier that year heard a concert of the Vienna Philharmonic playing Mozart's Grand Partita, his Serenade No. 10 in B flat, which uses a very similar instrumentation. And Mozart wrote a lot of what we call harmony music for winds in the late 1700s, and it was a very popular idiom at the time. There's a lot of really wonderful wind music written from that time, and then it kind of went away for a long time. And actually, a lot of people, it was rediscovered in the late 1800s, and so this performance of Mozart's Grand Partita inspired Dvorak. Boy, you know, I'd like to write for an ensemble of that makeup, and so he decided to write a piece of his own for it, and he wrote it within a couple weeks and premiered it under his baton, and has just become a staple in our repertoire. If you ask band guys like me what are their 10 greatest wind works ever written, this is will always be toward the top of the list.
Right. Even though he left out the flutes. And
I'm sorry about that, Kara. Don't take it personally.
I know it. That's my cross to bear.
But of course, this is why I've invited Martha Council Vargas and her student Heidi to play a duet on Wednesday night's concert, so that we get them a chance to shine as well.
That's what I really like when I look at this program. We are going to see a huge variety of time periods and pieces and combinations of instruments.
Yeah, it's quite a variety.
The program, as you said, begins with Salt of the Earth, something most of us have not heard before, by a friend, composer that you knew what connection?
When I was the associate director of bands at the University of Michigan, he was a student there in the composition department, and now he's a faculty member there, and so we got to know each other through, I conducted one of his pieces and worked with him on various composition activities.
That's great. Yeah. This is followed by one of the great works for wind quintet, the quintet of Danish composer Carl Nielsen. And in this work, we'll see a number of graduate students. Maybe we could hear who they are for this performance tomorrow night. That's Heidi Keener is on flute, Heather Fugel, oboe, Elizabeth Waldberger, clarinet, David Acton horn, and Laura Diaz, bassoon. So they've prepared with faculty? Do they get mentored?
Nope, they're on their own for that one. For the two quintets, they're on their own. Oh, but I'm sorry, but they are mentored and coached by faculty advisors.
Yep. I see. Okay, and here's where we can talk to Greg again. You must have prepared this next piece by John Stevens, a movement from Seasons, a symphony for brass quintet. Tell me about this piece.
Yeah, it's a great piece. I think it's very popular among brass quintet repertoire. Obviously he starts with spring, and then it's the first movement. Second movement is summer, and then autumn and winter. I believe we're playing
summer.
Summer.
You should know that, Greg.
Yes, I know. We're just doing a second.
Just a second. Okay. Movement, right?
Yeah. Well, summer. It's very
you got a lot going on.
It's as you would expect. It's very upbeat, cheerful. It's very fast. So I think it kind of gives the emotion of summer. I think all the movements give their each respective season.
I think
justice.
I read somewhere where that the summer movement that you're playing also has a middle section that kind of describes the stifling heat of the summer.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Yes, and it gets pretty intense.
Yeah.
It's a great piece. It's very challenging, especially ensemble wise, and technically challenging for each musician in the group. I think we can make it work.
What do you know about John Stevens? Is he American?
I know something about John Stevens. Should I jump in? He's actually a member of the Wisconsin Brass Quintet. Uh-huh. So he wrote it for his ensemble there. And so they premiered that back in 1987. And it's just become a very, very popular piece in the repertoire. And they just happened to be on campus recently. So we enjoyed their playing and their works. And yeah.
That's great. And a living composer and someone who clearly knows his brass. Yep. Brass music, brass playing. In a brass quintet, tell me the configuration of brass instruments.
Well, you know, going in score order, I guess, there we have, you know, there's two trumpets.
I think you would have started with trumpets regardless of whether
it was probably. So we've got two trumpets, a horn, a trombone, and one tuba.
Okay. And you're on trumpet one?
We switch off every once in a while, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's we share the workload, I guess. So me and the other graduate trumpet assistant, Michael Gauz, sometimes he'll play first, sometimes I'll play first. So yeah, we switch off.
Scott Thornburg is one of the great trumpeters working today, and also a very experienced quintet player. I'm wondering if you have kept with you any pieces of advice or suggestions that he has personally given you or the quintet that you could share with us that he says about good ensemble, playing musically, any of that.
Well, the thing I like about Scott Thornburg is that he's a very musical player, very, you know, incredible musician. And I think he coached our quintet last year. And I think the biggest thing that I got out of his coaching was, you know, to always be musical. Always try to give something to the audience. And it really kind of opened my eyes and, you know, helped me become just a better musician in general.
Even if you're playing a quarter note that simply adds a bit of harmony while someone else has the melody.
Yes. I mean, he wants everything, you know, everything should, it should be interesting. You know, it should be unique. Make your own impression of the piece as opposed to just playing the notes on the page.
So one starts rehearsing by playing the notes on the page. And then do you start talking about the piece and what kind of thing?
Yeah. So, you know, we obviously will prepare the parts individually. And then, you know, as a group collectively, it's a very interesting dynamic because, you know, as opposed to, another, you know, a orchestra or, you know, a wind ensemble, you know, we have someone telling us what to do a lot of the times. But in this case, you know, it's a collaborative effect. So, you know, we all kind of chime in and, you know, we agree on something that we want to do musically, and what we want to rehearse, how we want to rehearse it. So that can be challenging at times, but, we usually can make it work.
Right. There's always parts in chamber music where you want to bring something out, bring out a line, bring out a moment or an effect or things like that. And it's not always the melody part where that happens. And sometimes you have to stand up for yourself a little bit and say, hey, guys, this part seems important to me. I really want to play it out a little more. Is that the kind of discussions?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, it's great. It's also great that we have a coach. This semester, our coach is Robert White, and he has, you know, he's a fantastic musician and has, you know, really great ears. So, you know, sometimes we might not realize that we're playing something a little too loud or maybe a little too soft. So he kind of helps us balance that out. But, you know, at the same time, we have to be able to figure that out ourselves. But yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, we might disagree on something, but it's never too bad. But yeah,
doesn't come to fisticuffs.
No,
or anything.
No, not yet, at least.
Well, if you just tuned in, I'm speaking with graduate assistant trumpet player Greg Blakeman, as well as director of bands at Western Michigan University, Scott Borma, about the Western Winds program. All this work going into tomorrow night's live concert at 7:30. Dr. Robert White will be there at 7 to introduce the pieces and have a little discussion on the program for those who are interested in getting a little behind-the-scenes information, which I'm also trying to do right now, is get a little behind-the-scenes information and preparation. So you mentioned this duet for two flutes. That's by Franz Doppler. Mm-hmm. He's one of those important flute composers. He was a 19th century virtuoso, I think Hungarian, maybe.
Technically it was the region of Poland, but at the time it was Austrian Empire.
There
so
you go.
Kinda, things change over there over the years.
Amorphous. A little amorphous at the time.
Right, yep.
But he wrote some very exciting pieces that, you know, kind of in along the same lines as the violin virtuosos like Sarasate
right,
and Vuitton, kind of. Hello, the flute is still here and it's still virtuosic.
Exactly. despite Dvorak forgetting them in the serenade.
Yes. I need to let that go.
Yeah, all right.
Shall we get back to the serenade, though? Because I know we have some more beautiful music to listen to. And the recording you brought along, is this a studio commercial recording? Or is it,
it is, you know, and I knew you were going to ask me that question. It's actually a compilation. Two of the four movements are by one group, and one of the movements is by another group, and I can't remember which ones they are. They just happen to be favorite versions of it.
Handpicked by Dr. Borma. Let's move on to, I think you were interested in hearing a slow part, or?
Sure. Maybe the third movement?
Sure. Andante con moto, and we'll be back again with Scott Borma and Greg Blakeman. That's the third movement Andante con moto from the Serenade in D minor, Opus 44, by Antonín Dvořák. And we're listening to this beautiful music with director of bands Dr. Scott Borma and graduate assistant trumpeter Greg Blakeman. The concert by Western Winds is tomorrow night, and this piece is the centerpiece, let's call it.
Sure.
Now, this is one piece that isn't exactly chamber music, in that you do need to conduct this, and that's what you'll be doing.
Pretty much the general rule, if it's over eight players, a conductor is probably wise. At least that's what we conductors justify it by saying, because there are just so many twists and turns, and with two rows of an ensemble, and it really helps us get on the same page a little bit more quickly, and just a marvelous, marvelous piece of music that we've really enjoyed putting together.
How much time do you actually have?
Well, that's another beautiful part of this Western Winds experience. Unlike the University Symphony Orchestra or the University Symphonic Band or Gold Company or any of our fabulous ensembles that will spend several weeks putting a concert together, Western Winds is meant to be more of a real-world professional situation where the students come in, we do three rehearsals and then a concert. And so we just started working on this the middle of last week, and concert tomorrow night. So it's you know, the expectation is that the students show up having learned their parts completely, and our rehearsal time is purely about bringing all the elements together and making music out of it, which would be the same concept for a professional symphony orchestra.
Like something back in Mozart's day.
Absolutely.
Perhaps.
Yep.
You mentioned his Gran Partita. This is a piece that I should program more, but it's almost an hour long.
Yeah.
And we'd miss the newscast
right,
at the top
exactly.
of the hour. But this is a piece you said was very inspiring to Dvorak.
Right. And, you know, I also mentioned that Dvorak's Serenade would be at the top of most of us wind guys' list. The Mozart Grand Partita, the Serenade number 10 in B-flat, would also be probably at the very top of the list. And when Dvorak heard a performance of this work, it was new to him in 1878, and Mozart's work was written in the late 1700s. And harmony music, this wind ensemble music, had kind of gone away for a lot of years, and people like Dvorak started rediscovering this music of Mozart and others that wrote harmony music in the 1700s. So he decided he wanted to write a piece for that ensemble, a very similar ensemble, and incorporating the cello and bass as his serenade does. And this last movement we just listened to, if you get a chance to listen to the Gran Partita, especially the Mozart's Adagio movement, is the beginning of it with the cello and bass playing these arpeggiated lines, and then the oboe solo rising above. For those of you who have seen the movie Amadeus, there's a famous scene where Salieri, the old Salieri, is remembering the first time he heard Mozart's music, and it was the Grand Partita, the Adagio movement. And this he describes this beautiful oboe ascending out of the texture as if from God. And if you listen to the movements back to back, it's really startling how similar they are. So obviously Dvorak was very inspired by that music. Of course, it's 100 years later, so he's got a romantic twist on everything and in a different style of writing, but harkens back to that classical era in not only some of the harmonic choices, but also in the movement. The four-movement setup of it follows some structural things that the classical era did. There's a minuet and trio, there's the adagio movement, there's the fast at the beginning, the fast at the end, and it's really fascinating how he tied that all in.
In Dvorak's day, he would have heard the performance, of course, couldn't have run out and got a recording. He would have to track down a manuscript and study it, maybe through someone's collection, or maybe it was still printed, but unlikely, you know, for 100 years later.
Right.
But there would have been some copies somewhere. And yet today, with today's composers, hear a performance and you can do so much instant study right away.
Yeah,
with the
it's on
access.
iTunes, it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's a click away.
Yeah, and that's what I'm noticing about new music these days. So many influences all in one piece. It's a fun game to listen to and hear quotes and ideas that just are just being blended in new different ways.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, Dvorak's Serenade is the centerpiece on tomorrow night's concert, which begins at 7:30 with a pre-concert, live and interactive session with Dr. White at 7 p.m. Tickets and more information are available through the Miller Auditorium box office. That's milleraudatorium.com or 387-2300. And it's set for tomorrow night. We still have time to hear the final movement, but perhaps we could again acknowledge that this is an ensemble that combines faculty members side by side with graduate assistants in the School of Music. Maybe they're not trumpeted often enough. Sorry, Greg. The fact that the work that grad assistants do, not only at the school but in our community, has an impact that we don't always acknowledge.
Yeah, these students are everywhere. They're out playing in the local symphonies, they're playing in the pit orchestras, the quintets are out in the public playing at various events, and they really provide a wonderful connection between the community and the school. And, you know, I just, frankly, the amount of wonderful things that we do at the School of Music, I can't imagine it happening without these terrific students that have their hands in so many different projects that are happening from a teaching standpoint, and from their performance aspect and the opportunities that they have for themselves. It's really a remarkable thing that we have here that we're very proud of. It really puts the WMU School of Music on the map as being one of the truly great music institutes.
Greg, this is your second year in a graduate study?
Yes.
Can you actually tell the difference between a year ago and now?
Yes, as far as myself, or
yeah, just okay. As far as yourself.
Yes, I feel like I have definitely become a better musician, you know, in a variety of ways. But yeah, I definitely feel like I'm on a much better path than I was when I first started here. You know, I've had a lot of eye opening experiences and some great instruction, and I think, you know, I'm definitely glad that I chose Western as my, you know, opportunity to further my education.
Have you been thrown into situations you weren't necessarily prepared for, or just had to scramble and really get up to speed quickly?
I mean, usually I have a little bit of, time to prepare, but there are a couple of times where, you know, somebody would ask me to sub for them and, you know, a pit orchestra or something. And, you just kind of got to go for it and hope for the best. You know, there's all this music, but you know, you can make it work. But yeah, you know, I've had a lot of great experiences here. Not only at the school, but as you guys are saying, outside of the school as well. I've subbed with the KSO one time, and I've subbed in a couple of other orchestras, the Southwest Michigan Symphony, there's so many opportunities for musicians in this area, a lot more than where I was at before. I mean, that's also one of the reasons why I came here. I mean, there's so much around.
What have you learned to do to be prepared and to like to walk into a situation where no one's heard you before, or you need to be ready to play music you haven't had more than a couple of days?
Well, you can do a variety of things, but I think you just do a lot of listening to a lot of recordings nowadays. You can go online and find a recording of something, right then and there, and do that.
So you rarely want to just sight read.
Yeah, that's not something I would want to do. Unless it's something I've played before. But yeah, that's not something I wouldn't want to embarrass myself like that.
Do you like look up the address and figure out how to get there and where to park? And
yes,
all
that's also another thing that a lot of people forget about. It's like how are we going to get there? Am I going to have enough time? Am I going to be late? Where am I going to park? Where am I supposed to go when I get there? There's a lot of those logistics that people tend to leave out. I remember I subbed with the Southwest Michigan Symphony in over the summer. It was a 4th of July concert, and it was kind of like on the beach somewhere. And like there's just thousands of people there, and I'm walking around in a tuxedo. Everyone else is in swimwear, and everyone's just staring at me like, "What is this guy doing?" I had no idea what was going on. I eventually found my way and made it to rehearsal on time, barely. But there's some situations you just got to go with it and hope for the best.
That's a good story, a learning experience, for sure. Well, any other thoughts on this program for tomorrow night?
Well, I wanted to say, in addition to our marvelous flute duet, Helen Lucan, pianist, will be joining them on that piece as well. So you get a little flavor of that sound as well. Marvelous player. And it's kind of interesting to me. It just occurred to me the other day that it's kind of seems to be Czech fall here at Western. The University Symphony Orchestra recently just played Dvorak's New World Symphony last weekend. And the concert before that, the University Symphonic Band played Karel Husa's Music for Prague 1968, and Czechoslovakian composer. And here we're doing Dvorak again. So for some reason, we're all in a Czech mood, I guess.
There's nothing wrong with
There's
that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, maybe you can give us a taste of upcoming concerts and maybe even into next winter.
Yeah, we'll do another one of these Western Winds performances, and it's February 9. It's a Tuesday evening. It's the second week of February, if my memory serves me well, that it's the 9th. And we'll have a completely different repertoire, a lot of similar kinds of groupings, but completely different music, and we're looking forward to putting that together. Speaking from the band world, we have a University Symphonic Band concert coming up on Sunday, November 22nd, and that will be in conjunction with our concert band, the University Concert Band, conducted by Dr. David Montgomery. And so we share that concert, a lot of variety in there, some really exciting music happening there right before the holidays, before Thanksgiving gets rolling. And this is a very exciting year for the Western Michigan University Band. The Symphonic Band has been invited to play at two very prestigious conferences based on auditions of CDs and things like that. And we were invited to play the opening concert of the Michigan Music Conference in Grand Rapids in January. And I shouldn't say just us. We were invited as a package deal with the University Symphony Orchestra and the University Chorale. So the three main large ensembles at Western will be featured at our state conference. So really great opportunity for the state to hear what marvelous things are happening around here. And then the Symphonic Band the next month, the end of February, has been invited to play at the College Band Directors National Association, CBDNA for short, the North Central Division Conference in Iowa State University in Ames, Iowa. And not only were we invited to play at this conference, but we were selected as the most outstanding submission. So we're playing the premier Saturday night slot for that conference. So this is a really, really big deal for us this year, and we're going to get a lot of great exposure for our terrific School of Music.
Scott, I think you take some of the credit.
Oh, I don't know. I am surrounded by really talented people.
I think just in 2-3 years, I think you've brought a real sense of purpose and mission to the band area and the School of Music at Western.
Oh, I appreciate it. It's home to me. I love it here.
Well, let's finish up with some Dvorak. What do you have to say about the finale?
Finale is just a lot of fun. It's got a very exciting, driving, fast tempo to it. And really interesting thing about it, too, although there aren't quotes from other movements throughout, each movement doesn't relate necessarily to the other movements thematically. However, at the very end, he brings back the opening march from the first movement as just kind of a final, I want you to hear that one more time before we send you out. It closes with this just flourish of horns flying all over the place. The entire ensemble joins in these fast triplets and very rousing, exciting conclusion.
My guest, Dr. Scott Bormer, will conduct a performance of the Serenade, Opus 44, tomorrow night, along with works of Paul Dooley, Carl Nielsen, John Stevens, and Franz Doppler. It's the Western Winds in concert at 7:30 p.m. Details at milleraudatorium.com or 387-2300. Dr. Bormer and Greg Blakeman, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Thank you.